Awesome. You guys got your Bible with you tonight? The Holy Spirit's going to do some more ministry tonight, and that's really what I'm wanting to lead into tonight. We had lots of fun at camp, but what the Lord was doing at camp was way more significant. And the Lord was just speaking to me this week, and he was just saying, you know what? A lot of people here, for one reason or another, you couldn't make it to camp. You had work, you know, you had a job to go to. You know, there's just a whole bunch of reasons. You know, you're a first-time visitor, obviously you didn't go to camp. And the Lord was like, you know, what I did at camp was a seed that I planted. It wasn't something that was a one-time deal. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. You guys getting what I'm saying? And so tonight I think the Lord is wanting to do more of what he did at camp, which was an impartation and a releasing of young people. And those two words are kind of geeky words. Impartation basically means that when somebody has something inside of them from the Lord, they release that into your life. It's kind of like when you take a lamp and you plug it into the wall. The wall's got something that the lamp needs, and there is a release into that, and we get light, right? Something happens, okay? And the release is just like that turning of the switch. And what God did at camp is he released a lot of people. How many of you guys just felt released at camp to new ministry? It was significant. It was very, very cool what God did. And tonight, the Lord, I believe, just wants to continue what he did at camp. And he wants to release more people. And he wants more people just to get baptized in his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Come on, baby. Oh, it's always good when it works. Okay. So how many of you guys are down with that? How many of you guys want a little more of what Jesus got for you? You guys good with that? All right. Turn over your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I have a title here somewhere, that they all would be. Praise God. PowerPoint is very cool. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. This is what it says. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, or a Roman soldier, came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and I'll heal him. Sounds like a good deal. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man, say a man, under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we're asking right now that you would touch your word. You inspired it. You helped man write it down. And now I'm asking that you'd help men and women receive it and apply it, God. Tonight, we're excited, God. We just wait in expectancy about what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Amen. I don't know if anybody's ever caught the strange little twist in the story, but I always expected this guy to say something different. He goes to him and he says, Jesus, I'm a man under authority. And then you expect him to say, somebody tells me where to go, and I go. Someone tells me what to do, and I do. But he, doesn't that make sense? I mean, he says, I'm a man under authority. Wouldn't you think that what he's going to say is, you know, I understand how to take orders, right? But that's not what he says. What he says is, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Does that sound kind of weird to anybody but me? I'm a man under authority, but then he starts talking about, I say go, and they go, and I say come, and they come. And it's an amazing thing to me, because Jesus looks at this guy who's talking about the issue of authority, and he says, I haven't seen great faith in anybody like you. And so what the Lord was speaking to me about tonight is, when we are released into ministry, we have to understand the difference between authority and giftings. Does that make sense to you guys? We're going to kind of unpackage this a little bit tonight. When Jesus looks at this man, the centurion, and he says, I understand the issue of authority. And he says, I'm submitted, therefore I have power. That's really what he says. And so he looks at Jesus, and what he's saying is, in a sense, he says, I see that you're submitted to the Father, therefore I know that you can heal my servant. I see that you're submitted to the Father, therefore I understand that you have delegated authority so you can release the power that's in your life. And one of the things that happened at camp is there was a release of people into their giftings and into their graces. And one of the things that's happened in the past in church life, and you guys might not have experienced this, but and I hopefully you never will, is that we get these two issues of authority and release to giftedness mixed up. Okay? So what happens is somebody in authority sees you operating in your gift. You're preaching the word of God with boldness. You're prophesying. You're doing this, that, or the other thing. And the person in authority gets insecure and gets weirded out, and they crush you. Okay? You guys know what I'm talking about? Come on. Or the other thing that happens is the person who is released into their gifts all of a sudden thinks that they have authority because the Lord's released them into a gift. All right? And so you have the rogue prophet who comes around the church and he's like, I'm a prophet and nobody else knows it but me. And he starts usurping authority because he thinks that because he's operating in his gift that he has authority over people. Is this making sense to you guys? In reality, these are two different things. The authority and the gifting. Okay? Am I making sense to you guys tonight? Yeah? This is really important to understand because if I get caught up, or if you're my pod leader gets caught up in you operating your gifting and crushes you, then you're not going to feel released to be a part of the body of Christ. Okay? If you start operating as a part of the body of Christ and think, I don't need James Phillips in my life anymore, I don't need Ashley Millar in my life anymore because I have a gift, then you're going to blow up somebody else or blow up yourself. Okay? That's just what happens. And so tonight, I want to unpack this a little bit because I think that the Lord is really starting us on a pretty substantial journey here towards mobilizing us as a ministry. Is this okay if I just talk to you guys tonight? I'm not really going to preach. I'm just going to share because I think the Holy Spirit's going to do a much better thing later on. Later on. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Actually, let's go to verse 7 first. I want to read both of these. These are really good. Starting verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. In other words, the outcome of the way they live their life. Verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. These scriptures are talking about this issue of authority. And what it's talking about is people who are in authority. If somebody is in this ministry and we give them authority, to be a 412 leader, we say this person has authority to run a MyPod. This person has authority to be on the worship team. What that means is they're also taking on responsibility for souls, for people's lives. You operating your gift doesn't necessarily mean that you're taking on the responsibility of souls. Does that make sense? These are two kind of major issues. Because when authority is delegated to you, now there's some power there and some substance that you have to be careful of because you now have the ability to really hurt somebody. Does that make sense? You're in authority over their life. And so what it says is for us as believers to be submissive to those who rule over us. Now, when he was writing, when we think Luke might have wrote the book of Hebrews, when he was writing to the church, he's writing to the first century church, and they is doing the ministry. All right? They are prophesying. They are raising the dead. They are preaching the gospel on the on the streets and all that stuff. So when this author is speaking, he's not crushing people and saying, hey, you need to be submissive and not do anything and just sit in a pew and let the people who are speaking to you do everything because they have authority. What he's saying is because you are doing ministry and because you're doing what God has called you to do, you need to submit your life to this authority so that it can flow through you. And what the Lord was speaking to me this week is he was saying, Reed, I give authority so that authority can release people, not crush them. Does that make sense to you guys? The Lord was saying, I give authority in a place so that that authority can unlock other people's lives. That authority can give those people a little bit of a nudge who may be a little bit timid. That's my heart for authority, is what the Lord was telling me. And it just excited me, because what we experienced at camp is the body doing ministry. And when we were doing the testimonies, I heard like somebody was like, man, somebody came and they prophesied to me. And it wasn't a GM leader. It wasn't me. It was somebody in the body of Christ functioning in that gift that's every bit as valuable as anybody else in the room. It was rocking. And just this week, somebody's like, oh, man, so-and-so came and they just, you know, laid hands on me. I was healed. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, well, they weren't an authorized authority. Therefore, you're not healed. So what is that? Okay. Are you guys getting this kind of where I'm going here?
Yeah.
God puts authority in place so that you can be lifted up, so that you can be equipped, so that you can be edified, that you can be strengthened to do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11, it's a famous verse around this church. And it says that God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the body so that the body does the work of the ministry. What that means is I'm here, Pastor Brad's here, other leaders are here so that they can give you a little push so you can come and say, I prophesied to somebody and it came true. You know, I was in this grocery store and this lady, she just like was standing there and God said, you know, tell her that her husband's going to come back. You know, or just some crazy, Jesusness. Okay?
I
like Jesusness.
I like it.
Okay? That's not my job. My job is to equip you to do that. My job and my passion is that I would rather somebody in this room raise a dead person than me. I mean, I would be all about it. But the reality is, if I taught you to have faith to raise the dead and you did it, I would be way more happy. Because that's my job. You know, I can pray for your friend and I can lead him through a prayer to know Jesus Christ. But honestly, they're not my friend, they're yours.
Amen.
And it's your job. And not only is it your responsibility, but there's a distinct anointing on your life for that person. You're not their friend because of some cosmic disaster or because they live next to you. You're that person's friend because God has put you in their life to be the man or woman of God to them. That's the deal. They don't need me. Man, I ain't got nothing you don't got. You guys getting this? I mean, every bit of the Spirit of God is inside you. It's crawled up inside you. It's oozing out of your pores. And you just got to wipe it off on somebody. That's nasty. Okay, is this making sense? Somebody say amen. Come on.
Amen.
All right. Oh, you guys got me preaching. I told you I wasn't going to preach.
I
can't help. All right. I want you guys to see this. We're going to go to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers here in just a second. I love showing things out of the Bible. I'm not the best storyteller, but I love going back to Scripture and seeing this stuff applied and worked out. It's so awesome. The book of Numbers, chapter 11. There's some stuff that's going on in the world and in God's kingdom that's really bigger than us. And it's really bigger than what we're able to wrap our heads around. And, you know, sometimes it's intimidating to not know all the answers. And it's intimidating not to have everything, you know, like I control my little world. My little world's a happy little place. I do my little college thing. I do my little school thing. And I do my little family thing in the summer. And you just live a little life. Okay? And, I mean, I guess it's okay if you want to live a little life. But it seems like God might want something bigger for you and from you. Right? Last time I checked, the Bible says that you were called and chosen with a purpose and a destiny in mind. God handpicked you not so that you could just do your little thing, so that you could live a life of significance and so that you could be an example of him in the world. Right? Book of Numbers, chapter 11. Some significant stuff is happening. The children of Israel have just gone out of Egypt, out of captivity. You could say that they were in captivity to the world, and now they got saved. Okay, and they come through this dry place into the desert. And starting in chapter 11, the people are complaining because all they have to eat is manna, right? And so Moses' father-in-law comes to him. He says, hey, you know, you're sitting here day to night. Every single problem with the entire camp, they come to you. Why don't you create some other leaders? You know, this is kind of stupid. I mean, somebody has a squabble and, you know, you who are, you know, leading 4 million people are the only one who has a brain that can figure this thing out. Okay? That's what's going on. And so in verse 16, Moses starts to do something. And here's what I want to pick it up and read it here. Starting in verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and I will talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit, say the Spirit, the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, and you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? Verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men and the elders of the people to the place and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in a cloud. Oh, so good. And spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp, and the name of one was Eliad, and the other name was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the young leader, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them. And Moses returned to the camp, both him and the elders of Israel. I love what happens here. God takes this authority and he says, hey, it's not good for one man to have the authority. It's too much and it's just not smart. And so God gives authority to a group of individuals to bear the load of authority. But then this young man, Joshua, who later became the leader of all Israel, he gets all zealous. And he's just like, dude, these people are prophesying in the camp and they're not part of this authority thing. And you just need to tell them to stop it. And Moses says, oh, that all God's people would be prophets. Did you guys catch his heart? This is amazing. Because right here we capture a glimpse of what Jesus did on the cross. Moses was saying, listen, it's not for those with authority to be used by God. God's heart, God's plan is that every single person that's called by his name would be used by him. And it's just incredible because what Joshua was confused with, I think, is this idea of authority and release into the gifts. Where he's like, man, they don't have the authority. They're, you know, he's looking out for Moses. He's just like, you want me to kill him? You know, I mean, they're gonna jump up and they're gonna take you down, and you know, and I see it coming. You know, that guy, he thinks he's special and gifted. And Moses is like, time out. The spirit that's on me is on these men. But what the Lord wants to do is in everybody. And the very next chapter actually kind of completes the story. If you want to read it, Aaron and Miriam decide that they want the authority. They have the gifting, but they want the authority. And God smacks them down hard. I mean, way hard. And Moses is just like, God, you know, don't destroy them. I love these people. And God's like, okay, you know, and lets them live. And Miriam had leprosy. It was just disgusting. But here's what happens. Is tonight, God is wanting to release you into your gifting. Now, it doesn't mean that he wants you necessarily to be an authority in this place. Although, there's some of you that the Lord is calling you into that, and that's great. But I want you to understand this, that God does not limit his spirit to those who are in authority. God's plan was never for the people that you see up here preaching and teaching and worshiping to be his hands and feet. He wants this body to be his hands and feet.